present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Sheila Hancock and Giles Brandreth in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And this week we have two of our regulars, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams. We welcome back, after quite a long interval, Sheila Hancock. Sheila, who always says, I don't know why I come on this ridiculous game, but always does outstandingly well whenever she does. And we have a new guest, someone who hasn't played the game before, Giles Brandreth. The rules have remained the same. I'm going to ask our four panelists at different times if they can speak on some subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, and deviating from the subject. We will begin the show this week with Peter Jones, and the subject, Peter, is a long one. The most outstanding personality in this show. What? What a difficult subject to go on. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I think it's a very unkind subject to give me the most outstanding personality in this show, because I'm not going to give a name to the person I think who is, because it would be both undiplomatic and unkind. I think that it is basically a team show, and when somebody stands out, and how terribly boring this is.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Hesitation and not answering the question.
I thought he was being extraordinarily diplomatic.
And but not answering the question.
But it isn't a question. You're asked to talk for a minute on a subject. It's not a question.
No, it wasn't a question. No, he's quite right. But, Sheila, I will grant your first challenge of hesitation. So Peter gets a... Sorry, Sheila, you get a point for a correct challenge and you take over the subject. There are 36 seconds. The most outstanding personality in the show, starting now.
The most outstanding personality in this show is definitely Derek Nimmo, because...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Sorry, Derek Nimmo isn't in this show. That's Giles Brandreth.
Giles Brandreth.
Sorry, all right.
So, Peter, that's a very good challenge. He's not in the show, so you have 29 seconds to take the subject back again, starting now.
And since he's not in the show, I can say how he fails to outstand.
Giles Brandreth, a challenge.
Fails to outstand.
Well, I want to sound a bit like Derek Nimmo now, but I fear I'm going to end up sounding more like David Jacobs. There was hesitation. Of a kind, there.
Of a kind, but not enough, I think.
Oh, quite does. Sufficient. It's not going to start. I've seen us greenhorns be trampled over before now on this. And I intend to start as I mean to go on.
Right.
Now.
Well, if you wait till
how many seconds do I have left?
If you intend to go on that way, do you wish to come up here? And take over.
Yes. Not necessarily today, but perhaps next week.
Giles, I have the rules such as they are to try and adhere to, and I am going to, with great strength of mind, overrule your exuberant challenge. Peter, you still have the subject and got a point, of course, also for a wrong challenge, and you have... There are 25 seconds left on the subject, the most outstanding personality in the show, starting now.
If we're going by age alone, then obviously Kenneth is the most outstanding personality in the show, because he has been doing it for much longer than any of the rest of us. I've been doing it second, and Sheila, I think...
Giles Brandt.
There's a combination of hesitation and the repetition of doing it.
Yes, but I can't give you 2 points.
I'm quite prepared to accept just 1 point.
Right.
If I'm allowed to speak now.
Yes. For a first-time guest, you've spoken more than anybody else who's ever played the game. Giles, I will give you the word to start. That's one of the few jobs left after me when you're on the show. It is the most outstanding personality in the show, and you have 12 seconds starting now.
There is no doubt at all in my mind that the most outstanding personality in this show is the boyish figure of Nicholas Parsons, whom I have known for so long that I knew him when he was merely known as Nick Curie.
He said known twice.
Much as I'd like to give Giles Brandreth a bonus point for those brilliant and superbly phrased remarks of his, he does get a point, actually, for speaking as the whistle went, and he is actually in the lead alongside Peter Jones at the end of the round. And Sheila Hancock, we're going to hear from you, because you're beginning the next round, and the subject is getting the baby to sleep. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
It's something I'm really quite skilled at, because when my little ones were young, I discovered an infallible method. You have to have the skin under your hands. And
hesitation and obviously laughing. I mean, it's the whole thing is disgraceful.
I mean, it's you interrupt. I was visualising what you said.
What on earth does it mean, the skin under your hands?
Unless you let me carry on, you won't know.
No, well, we're not terribly interested.
We'll ask you when the round is over. Kenneth, you have the subject of the skin under your hands. And no, oh, no, it's an even better subject for you. It's getting the baby to sleep. So, Kenneth, tell us something about that in 46 seconds, starting now.
I have been complimented on my ability in this direction on more than one occasion. And a vicar, when I was holding a baby at the font, said, "You have a curious neck. And what is the secret?" I said, "A gentle massaging at the base of the spine, which was told me many moons ago by a distinguished pediatrician in Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital."
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I think you had got so slow.
Yes. He's just jealous, darling. He's just jealous because I've got this lovely hair.
He didn't just...
I love the hair. That's why he's jealous. Ah, I can tell you...
I don't think you could have...
He said earlier on, it's like spun gold. He said, "I'd like to walk through it barefoot."
It looks as though somebody has.
He's jealous. Well, he can't bear me being a success. He's unbearable. Look at him. Furious
because
I'm successful.
Kenneth, you see, I'll tell you how successful you were. You weren't intent about putting the baby to sleep. You actually put the audience to sleep. And so the hesitation, I do think you couldn't have gone slow without hesitating. So I will give.
Well, he hesitated not just between the words, but between the syllables.
So, Peter, you take over the subject of getting the baby to sleep. 10 seconds, starting now.
A few drops of good quality malt whiskey into the baby's bottle is an infallible method of getting the child to sleep.
Giles Brandreth has challenged.
This is not just deviation, it's deviant. And also quite dangerous that people should be encouraged.
Here, here. Imagine people listening to the family show.
Yes.
They'll all be getting the baby absolutely tight.
No, it's horrible and wrong.
Of course it is. Horrible and wrong. You couldn't have phrased it better.
He's not deviating from the subject, actually, you see. That's what I have to interpret. It makes my life very difficult, and I may... Oh. Oh, you are kind. Oh, let's forget about the other four. You and I and the other. So, Peter, you keep the subject, and you have 2 seconds. 1 second left, starting now.
Have a good shot yourself.
Peter Jones gained a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now in a very strong lead. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, Camelot. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
The actual site of Camelot is the subject of considerable contention. Those who maintain that he had the castle in what is now called Tintagel are probably, I would say, correct.
Giles,
there was really quite a hesitation between "I would say" and "correct." There was a kind
there
of
was,
shock.
There was, but I think it was dramatic effect on this occasion.
It was dramatic effect, that's right, you see. I was after dramatic effect, that's yes. True. He's a very good chairman, a you bit know. He's got a feel for the game.
It's very difficult. You weren't going as slow as you were before, but
no.
Almost. And it's very difficult to judge, and Giles is a guest, but he's a very good guest, so I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, and telling you that you have 44 seconds to continue on Camelot, starting now.
In the recent musical Camelot, the lead was played by my old chum, Richard Burton, and I said to him, "Well, you've taken on a pretty pill. It's a vast part, you know, and he suggests exhausting, and I said far from those days when we were together at the Grand at Swansea, and there he was playing Constantine. Little did I dream then that he'd be Camelot.
Giles Brandon.
We're now talking about Chekhov, it appears, as opposed
to
Camelot.
No, you're quite right, Giles. He has deviated from Camelot and gone on to Richard Burton.
Wasn't it?
So, Giles, you have the subject of Camelot, and there are 17 seconds starting now.
There are many people who feel that Camelot is, in fact, a car park for dromedaries. They are incorrect in that it is a paradise place, and I once taught at a school that was known as Camelot, a school for the sons and daughters of incredibly wealthy...
Peter Jones at Charlotte.
Reputation of school.
Yes, you had two schools you taught at, Giles. So, Peter, correct challenge. Camelot's the subject, 2.5 seconds left, starting now.
Yes, it was an interesting show in America.
So at the end of that round, Peter Jones has increased his lead and Giles Brandreth begins the next round. Giles, something I think you know a great deal about, puzzles. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Those people who believe that a slight inclination of the cranium is as adequate as the spasmodic movement of one optic to an equine quadruped, utterly devoid of any visionary capacity, will appreciate the world of puzzledom because they will understand that that phrase actually means a nod is as good as a wink to a blind horse. That is the kind of puzzle that I appreciate, a literary puzzle of a certain amount of refinement. My great-grandfather was a manufacturer of laxative pills, and he produced the first Brandreth's puzzle book in the year 1901 in order to promote the sales of these particular medicaments. The idea of them was that they made your tummy feel much more comfortable. The idea of the puzzles was to distract...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of idea.
Yes, Peter, you're in there. We've only 3 seconds to go on puzzles, starting now.
Yes, well, crossword puzzles.
Sheila Hancock.
Yes, well, didn't
yes,
you say
well,
that in this round?
I agree. Hesitation. There's only but 1 second left for you, Sheila, on puzzles, starting now.
Puzzles are...
Gina Hancock got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and Peter Jones is still in the lead. Giles Brandreth is following, and Sheila and Kenneth are trailing a little. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is getting a tan. Can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
What a lot of man-hours are spent uselessly, in my opinion, by people trying to get tan.
Kenneth Williams.
I think it's a hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid it was.
Very bad hesitation.
But very unkind challenge.
Probably, I'm not known for my kindness.
So, Kenneth, you have the subject. There are 55 seconds on getting a tan, starting now.
Well, the best way to do with this is to lie in the direct rays of the sun and cover the skin with the appropriate lotions. Of course, they're always trying to give you this old rubbish about vinegar and oil mixed together. But the feel of it so horrid and the smell is quite disgusting. So you're better...
Peter Jones, a chum.
I don't think the smell of oil and vinegar can be described as disgusting. It is, after all, a vinaigrette dressing. And it's eaten by people all over the world with great relish.
Well, that is not deviating from the subject. So Kenneth keeps the subject on getting a tan. There are 35 seconds starting now.
In my youth, I got a tan if I was rude to my parents. And my father would say, you're going to be bent over my knee and you're going to get a tan.
And Sheila Hancock challenged.
You're going to get a tan.
You're going to. That's right. He repeated the phrase.
And anyway, it is obvious proof of the... how appallingly badly he was treated as a child with his corporal punishment. He's ended up a warped, emotionally stunted individual, and I think he ought to be given a point.
All right, yes, I'll give it to him. Poor soul, I know.
We've gone into the realms of surrealism now, and I'm going to let Sheila Hancock have her challenge, and there are 23 seconds left. Getting a tan, Sheila, starting now.
Getting a tan was something I used to spend a great deal of time doing, and found it...
Giles Brandreth.
It wasn't a dramatic pause. It was really hesitation.
It
the
really
mind was.
Was
searching desperately for something.
Yes, you are right.
Well, I kept going. It was searching, but I kept going.
Yeah, but you did pause in the process, which is one of the rules of the game. So, Giles, you have the subject of getting a tan. There are 17 seconds left, starting now.
Sheila Hancock and I have something in common in that we are both totally bald from navel to Adam's apple. And consequently, when...
What's it? A deviation. Deviation. Bald from where, did he say?
Navel to Adam's apple. It was perfect. It was perfectly clean and wholesome and proper.
And it's I'm ready to prove it if Sheila is.
I do.
We see how far down your mind rests, Kenny. He was talking about the upper part that we can talk about in a family show. And so, Giles, you have a correct challenge. I'm sorry, a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject. There are 10 seconds left, getting a tan starting now.
As a consequence of my untanned torso, I have recently acquired a chest wig. It is a sort of Hessian vest with horsehair sewn onto it, and I have to go with it matching underarm toupee.
Well, it's an interesting contest because Giles Brandreth, our clever word spinner here, is leaping forward. He's now only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Peter Jones. And Sheila, your turn to begin. The subject is lines. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
There's nothing more pleasing on a Monday than to see lines of billowing washing that you've been doing ever since Saturday, which I'm sure all the ladies and gentlemen in the audience will agree with me. The other sort of lines that come to mind are those that are gradually becoming etched deeply upon my face, which give me less pleasure, particularly as I have just acquired a singularly...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of pleasure.
Yes. You talked about the lack of pleasure before, I'm afraid, Sheila. There are 37 seconds for you, Peter, to take over the subject of lines, starting now.
The lines I remember are the ones I was given at school for misbehaving, and I think it would probably have been better if I hadn't, because it put me off many of the things that I had to copy out, and I don't recall any of the good advice that I was given on those occasions, and I'm all in favour of allowing children to behave.
Giles Brandreth.
I think a series of little hesitations.
Yes, I think so, Giles. So you have the subject of lines, and there are 19 seconds starting now.
I believe the most difficult line ever given to a radio actor was, "This is the chair Schmidt sat in when he was shot." This took place in a thriller on the American radio network in the 1930s. The actor concerned was unfortunately intoxicated at the time of his performance. And consequently, instead of saying what he should have said...
That strange, rather half-hearted attempt at a whistleblow was because I tried to pull the whistle out of Ian Mester's mouth as he blew it in order that Giles Brandreth could carry on with the story, because I thought it sounded rather a good one.
And my teeth went with it.
I know. You didn't tell me about that new set before we started the series. He did go beyond, so he was certainly well within the 60 seconds and gets a point for speaking at that moment, and he's now equal in the lead alongside Peter Jones. And the next subject is My Goodness, and My Goodness, it's Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. So will you talk on the subject in just a minute, Kenneth, starting now?
Well, my goodness is never in question. My altruism is obvious to anyone who has ever had any of the remote dealings with me that I would consider peripheral to the average kind of acquaintanceship. Now, I'm not here to do a lot of self-advertising. I'm too humble a person to indulge in that kind of thing, so I will take that aspect of the phrase, which means, my goodness, which is the kind of surprise we often register when told of some untoward happening, some sensation, it may be. You don't know. I mean, you can have... What's the matter?
There's a desperate man sitting next to me. I felt needed to be let off the hook. And he repeated some 3 times.
He did, actually, yes. So you let him go on the second one. That was very generous of you, a guest first time. Giles, you have 15 seconds on My Goodness, starting now.
My kind...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Hesitation.
This is the way they treat a shy, retiring first-time boy. It's a monster.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that, but I do agree with the fact that it's your first time on the show, and we should be a little bit more generous, so we won't charge any points on that and tell you, Giles, to continue with the subject of My Goodness, and 14 seconds starting now.
My goodness springs from the belief that it is a better time to be alive now than it has been in the whole history of the world. I know that for Peter Jones, 1959 was a very good year. And we do occasionally convey.
Well, our shy, retiring, modest new player of the game, Giles Brandreth, is now in the lead. He's 2 points ahead of Peter Jones. And, Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is hallucinations. Marvellous subject for this particular game, as frequently it occurs here. But would you talk on the subject, if you can, in 60 seconds, starting now?
For many years, I have suffered from the hallucination that I was taking part in Just a Minute and curiously moving into the lead against all expectations. I was once put on a very mild drug called a Cenopod, and as a result of this, I gained a terrible series of hallucinations during which I believed I was firstly noddy.
I'm sorry, a deviation, because we know Cenopods are not a drug. I mean, they're a laxative, aren't they?
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one and tell you that you have 40 seconds on hallucinations starting now.
This definitely happened to me on holiday. I was given what I believed to be a Mickey Finn. That's what I think. And in the middle of the afternoon, I felt I was floating. And this awful sort of sense of colours going right across my eyes. I thought, oh, where am I? Oh, my goodness. Just this old Toscanini in Malaga.
Deviation, my goodness, was the last subject.
All right, Giles, a bonus point for a clever challenge.
Are you sure he isn't Derek Nimmo?
Derek's clever enough to send somebody along disguised, disguise himself as Giles. Yeah. I don't know, I'm getting very involved here. But Kenneth, you get a point for a wrong challenge, you keep the subject, and you have 23 seconds left, starting now.
It seems now to be established that Joan of Arc definitely had hallucinations, because she said that she was addressed by the Archangel Gabriel and St. Michael, and they come to her in this dream and told her to chuck out the English from France, which was the most silly thing they could have done, because we were the people that made France what it is.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Well, he's gone off the subject of hallucinations. He's talking about Joan of Arc. But also, I think a lot of people would question his theory that they were hallucinations.
But that's got nothing to do with Just a Minute, I'm afraid.
Deviation.
But, no, yeah, your first deviation was correct. Yes, he'd got off the subject of hallucinations onto Joan of Arc and chucking the English out and that area of history.
Oh, God, I don't want this subject. I've got nothing to
say. Well, you were interrupting. You did the interrupting. And now you've got to bear it.
How long have I got to talk on?
Only 4 seconds.
Right.
4 seconds, Sheila, on a hallucination starting now.
I saw this great big bear leaping around in Richmond Park.
What is the score? Oh, Giles Brandreth is still in the lead, but Peter Jones is not far behind. Right, Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is sentimentalism. There are 60 seconds to talk on that subject, starting now.
Well, there does seem to be more of it about than ever. I notice in these greeting card shops, the most sickly sentimental postcards are available. And in the columns of provincial newspapers, they have these personal advertisements, which seem...
Kenneth Williams, challenge.
Yes,
I'm afraid so. And so, Kenneth, you have the subject of sentimentalism, and there are 44 seconds left, starting now.
It occurs most obviously in those lines, and as I cannot see your face and cannot take you by the hand, I send these words through time and space to greet you. You will understand. And there is a charm in sentimentality which none of us should despise. Who are we to run down someone's attempt, even though it's a little halting, might be pathetic? They are trying to express something.
Sheila Hancock.
Trying. Repetition of trying.
Did I say that? Oh, how trying.
I see. I wouldn't swear to it.
I don't think he mentioned I don't hear him say trying. No, I think you were trying a bit harder.
You'll hear when the recording goes out that he probably did, but I wouldn't swear to it.
Well, we're giving the benefit of the doubt, and there are 11 seconds on sentimentalism, Kenneth, starting now.
And charmingly evinced in the Victorian ballads, darling, I am growing older, silver threads among
Peter Jones,
the gold.
That's certainly the first true thing he said all night.
Thank you. But Peter, he wasn't addressing you. Peter, we give you a bonus for a lovely challenge. Kenneth won for being interrupted, and he keeps the subject, and there are 4.5 seconds sentimentalism. Kenneth, starting now.
Pluck the harp gently, my pretty Louise, was sung by sentimental recordings.
Well, Kenneth Williams kept going on sentimentalism magnificently until
the end. Yes, go on, I've got in the lead.
You've got a point for speaking when the whistle went. And you have quite a lot of points.
Yes.
But you're still in third place. And his time has come to give you the final score. Sheila Hancock, who, when she was with us some weeks back, triumphed magnificently, she finished up just behind Kenneth Williams because he had that last great flourish on sentimentalism. Peter Jones finished in second place. And the winner this week, by 3 points, is the first-time player of the game. A great performance, great value to the show, Giles Brandreth. Well, as I'm sure you realize, we have enjoyed playing the game. I think our audience in the studio have enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it as well, because we'll be back again next week, and we want you to enjoy it then as well. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.